And take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 1. Received an email this morning from John Mark in Myanmar, and I thought I'd read part of the email to you. He says, Dear Brother Chuck, greetings to you in Jesus' name. I hope that you all are fine and the work of God is being blessed by the grace of God. We are thankful for your kind prayer support. We have recently finished our evangelistic seminar. God really blessed our activities. Among the attendants were 10 persons who are pure Burmese Buddhists. And among them, two of them were touched by God's Spirit, and they are born again. God is so good. Please do continue to pray for us. We love you. We pray for all of you. I do hope that you deeply pray for our needs, the desperate reliefs for our dear Christians who are right now in persecution. We are looking to hear from them soon. Please pray so that the civil war may calm down. Now the civil war is getting worse and worse, and many of our Christian friends are brutally killed. Please say thanks to all the believers. We look forward to hearing from you. Blessings to you, Brother John Mark. So there's a real persecution going on in the country of Myanmar, which used to be Burma. And there's a civil war in this one province that is made up of mostly Christians. John doesn't live in that area, but It's been getting more and more intense. So please keep all those believers there in your prayers. That would be wonderful. Well, it may be said that there are two great beginnings in the life of every man and every woman. First, there is the day when we are born into the world. And then secondly, the day we discover why we were born in the world. Well, the Apostle John begins his first letter telling us why we were born. He says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. To be in fellowship with God and Christ is to be in partnership with them. It's to have companionship with them, and it's to share in God's very nature and his everlasting life. In fellowship with God, he gives us his Spirit to be a part of our lives so that we can have love and joy and peace. His Spirit within us enables us to be long-suffering and to be kind and to have goodness and to be faithful and to be gentle and to have self-control. Being in fellowship with God means that our character should become more and more like his. If we truly are in fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, then how we think and feel and behave should be different than a normal person's. We should reflect the very character and quality of God. And that's the main theme of our verses this morning, verses 5 through 10. So let's begin reading them. Verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So right away, right after telling us that we can have fellowship with the Father, John tells us what he's like. And he brings us face to face, not with God's love, but with God's holiness. You would think after telling us that we can have fellowship with the Father, that John would say, having fellowship with God, you must know that God is love and he loves you. But no, John very bluntly starts out, and he says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In Scripture, the words light and darkness are very common. Light refers to that which is absolutely pure and holy and true. God's word is true because it reflects his character. And so we read in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And darkness refers to that which is false, full of errors, evil. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, Jesus Christ said, "And this is the condemnation." This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. That's a stupendous statement to my mind. This is the condemnation. God has given light, and yet people withdraw from it because they love darkness. And the reason Jesus says is that they love darkness is because their deeds are evil. So John begins with this truth. God is light, absolute holiness, and in him is no darkness at all. And here's why I think John starts out with the fact that God is love. I mean, God is light. Before we can really understand God's love or God's kindness or God's mercy, we have to come to grips with the fact that God is absolutely holy. Unless we understand God's holiness, we're going to be wrong about the love of God. We'll have a soft and sentimental idea of God as love, and we'll not understand that God is a consuming fire and that he hates sin. We'll have a false idea of what it's like to have fellowship with God. You see, the false teachers in John's day were saying, you know, you can sin as much as you want because you really can't do anything about it anyway. In your spirit, if you know the secret knowledge, you'll have fellowship with God. John says that's just not true. God is light, absolutely pure holiness. You can't have fellowship with him unless you are holy. So Peter writes, and he says, just as he who has called you is holy, you also must be holy. If we don't begin with the fact that God is absolutely pure and that on our own we are not, then we'll never understand God's plan of salvation or why Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and die for our sins. We can have fellowship with God only because Scripture says that Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. If God is only love and simply forgives everyone willy-nilly because we're sorry, then the death of Christ is unnecessary. It's really easy to think you have fellowship with God if you have a user-friendly God. If God is just a God of love, well, then you can have a false idea about fellowship with him. But true peace and true joy comes from being redeemed, being cleansed from your sin, and then being brought before a holy God who then looks at you as righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. We can have fellowship with God only because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now we can have daily companionship with God as we walk in the light, according to God's written word. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Boy, John is pretty blunt here, isn't he? What he's talking about is being a hypocrite. You know, people always think, or maybe it's just me, but I always think of John as the apostle of love. And, you know, he calls us his little children. He's always very tender and wants us to love one another. But here he's just pretty blunt. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're liars. I love this about the Bible. There's no gray area. It's either black or white. So to walk in darkness means to live a life of habitual sin. It doesn't have to be a gross sin like murder or stealing. It can be unkind words or selfishness or being uncaring. It could be the worst sin of all, and that's like living as if there is no God, just not thinking about him, not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, going days and day and day without ever having a thought about God. That's just a phenomenal thing to me, that most people in our world just go every single day, as many days as they can, without ever giving a thought about God. And that's walking in darkness. If we walk in darkness, well, then we don't have fellowship with God. And you know that the world is manipulated by Satan. So to walk in darkness is to have worldly values and worldly standards and ungodly ideals. But when we come to God in Christ, he takes us out of that present evil age. It says that we are now in the kingdom of the Son of his love. But more than that, Ephesians chapter 5 says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk in the light. Walk in the light. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. See, a genuine Christian endeavors to live a lifestyle of being holy. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to sin. And when we do, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But there's more here than this. Let's look at this verse again and just think about it for a minute. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we're striving and endeavoring to live by the word, we have fellowship with one another, with God, with Christ, with one another, you and me. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What this means, this is pretty profound. Each and every day, as we live by God's word, even when we're not sinning, we're living by God's word, the blood of Christ is cleansing us. More and more, our mind and our heart is becoming cleaner, and we are becoming more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your finger here and turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me show you this. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Well, let's look at verse 13. Get a little running start here. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So John says, I want you to walk in the light, because the more you walk in the light, the more the blood of Christ will cleanse you so that you'll become more and more like Jesus Christ. I don't want to brag, but I find that happening in my life. I find more and more I don't enjoy the things of the world as much as I do television programs or music or the way people think. I just recoil from it. And I realize that what's happening is I'm becoming a different person than I was. That's the goal that John has for his little children. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Wow. He wants us to walk in the light, but he knows we're only human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. And he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If someone never admits to being a sinner, they can never be saved. Right? Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. If you don't say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me, I want to make you my Lord and my Savior, help me, save me. If you don't say that, you can never be saved. And as a believer, sometimes we sadly don't take our sins seriously enough. We say, oh, that's no big deal. It's okay. God will forgive me. I'm doing my best. But our sins are a big deal. If we're called to have fellowship with God, why would we not strive to all our strength to walk in the light as he is light? Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What does it mean to confess our sins? Well, the Greek word is homologeo, and it means to say the same thing. Same thing as what? Same thing as God. If God's word says this attitude is wrong, then it's what? Wrong. If he says this behavior is wrong, it's wrong. So we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. It was wrong. Your word says it's wrong, but I did it anyway. Please forgive me. And then scripture says he is faithful and just. Why would it say that? It's because every time you confess your sin, God is there. He's faithful to forgive you. And why is he just? Because he says in his word that that's what he'll do. He'll forgive you. So he will not break his word. Isn't that fantastic? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Because God says we've sinned. I don't want to make God a liar. I want to say with scriptures, let God be true and every man be a liar. The Christian life is not a life totally free from sin. All of us struggle with unrighteousness at times. But in our heart of hearts, as a believer, there should be a desire to want to serve God to the best of our ability. There should be a desire to want to do his word. The great promise of the new covenant is that God says, I will take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and I will put my law on your heart. So there should be this desire to move away from the things of the world and move closer to the things of God every single day. Look at Philippians chapter 3. This is how Paul puts it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So let's strive to become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's walk in the light. If we are in fellowship with God, let's be occupied with the things of God. Let us be ambitious to be found pleasing to Him in all that we do, in all that we say. And that way we can shine as lights in a dark world, as we're meant to shine. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful blessings to us in Christ, that you've called us to have fellowship with you. You encourage us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Thank you for cleansing us from our sins when we are weak and feeble and fail. Thank you for being faithful and just to forgive us our sins always, and to bring us back to being fully righteous. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.